Dear Racist, I know that's a provocative beginning, but I really want to say some things to the racist. Racism can be seen in actions, but it is rooted in the heart and in the mind. And I can't read your mind, so I'm not here to diagnose your racism. I would like to communicate three main ideas, even though so much more can be said. So please judge me by what I say much more than by what I have not said here today. Also, I say this to everyone, to every Christian, to every atheist, to everyone who believes in another religion, or those who don't think about religion at all. Here's what I want to say. Number one, your racism is a sin that you must repent of. Number two, Jesus Christ loves you, the racist, and he willingly sacrificed his life out of love for you. Number three, because of what Jesus did and continues to do, you can be forgiven, transformed, and restored. Let me spend some time talking about each one of these three points. First, your racism is a sin that you must repent of. I know that racism has several definitions, and people speak of racism in many different contexts. But here's the definition I will use. Racism is to judge others purely by their race, or to judge them first by their race, or to judge them mostly by their race, instead of as judging them as individuals. Racism is also to mistreat others based on their race, or to take pride and glory in your own race. Now, I don't know if you think that your racism is a sin, something that misses the mark of God's will and our own ultimate good. Maybe you think your racism is justified, and you give reasons based on what people think this race did to people of that race, and so on. Maybe you aren't guilty of the sin of racism. I can't know that as I speak to you in a video, and I probably couldn't even know it if I spoke to you face to face. But to whatever extent that you judge others purely by their race, or judge them first by their race, or judge them mostly by their race, that makes you guilty in some degree of racism. It's especially true if you mistreat others based on their race, or if you take pride and glory because of your own race. To whatever extent those things are true, you're guilty of the sin of racism. It's important that you know why this is a sin. It is not primarily a sin because the dominant culture thinks that racism is an offense and a disgrace. It is very hard for us to do, but we should not base our thinking on what the dominant culture thinks. As Romans 12 says, we should not be conformed to the world, that is the dominant culture, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. At this point in time in the Western world, racist is about the worst accusation you can make against another person. There are very, very few people who proudly proclaim themselves to be racists, because if they did, they would be strongly rejected by the dominant culture. In general, racism is thought to be shameful and to disqualify a person from acceptance in the wider community. This is one reason why people are quick to accuse others of racism, because it is a powerful accusation. I'm sure that there are some people who are not racists who are accused of it, and there are no doubt others who are in fact racists who are never accused of it. Even though our culture doesn't use the word sin very much, racism is today considered to be a sin by the dominant culture, when in the past, it was much more tolerated and approved of. I say this to make a point. Dear racist, I do not call upon you to repent of racism because our dominant culture says it is a sin. In fact, That might be one of the things that makes racism attractive to you. You may be attracted to racism because it goes against the dominant culture. It is one way that you resist being forced into the mold of the culture. Without at all approving of your racism, I understand the impulse of resisting conformity to the mold of the culture. It gives you an identity and a sense of meaning. You think you exist to stand against such things. That's why I do not say your sin, your racism is a sin you must repent of because the culture condemns racism. No, I say your racism is a sin you must repent of because God says racism is a sin. The things God says are sin and the things the culture says are sin may sometimes overlap. But something is not fundamentally wrong because the culture says it is wrong. Something is wrong because God says it is wrong. And the Bible says racism is wrong. Now, I know that there are some people who think that the Bible is racist. I want to keep this video kind of short, so I'm not going to get into that. There's lots of great resources out there that answer that accusation. But personally, I've been studying and teaching the Bible for 40 years, and I can honestly say that what the Bible teaches is against racism, both in principle and in command. In principle, we are all descended from the same parents, Adam and Eve. We are all made in God's image. As Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth." One blood. When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he did it for all of humanity, for people of every race. Because of these and many, many other biblical reasons, racism is wrong for everyone, Christian or not. But it's not only in principle, we also get a command against racism. We can just go to what Jesus said was the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, and a few of the other gospel accounts as well. If you treat your neighbor, which Jesus specifically defined as those of other races or ethnicities, if you treat your neighbor as you want to be treated, you won't be racist. It's really that simple. So if you are not a Christian, if you're an atheist or have another religion or have no interest in religion at all, please know that you will one day stand before Jesus Christ as the judge of all things. And if you have hated your neighbor because of race, God will hold you to account for your sin of racism, among your other sins. If you don't repent and deal with it now, God's judgment on your racism and your other sins, especially your sin of rejecting God's rescue in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that will be part of your torment forever in eternity. Yet, the Christian has even more reason to reject racism, because Christians truly are all one in Jesus Christ, transcending the barriers of race and class, culture and gender. There will be people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation around God's throne, and it won't be segregated according to race. So if you are a Christian and you judge others purely by their race, or judge them first by their race, or judge them mostly by their race, you especially need to repent. If you mistreat others based on their race, or take pride and glory because of your own race, you especially need to repent. Remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We boast in Jesus and never in our race. As Christians, we have love and grace, and we declare the dignity of all men and women because they are made in the image of God. And we also feel a special kinship to fellow disciples of Jesus Christ. Which brings me to a second point. Jesus Christ loves you, the racist, and he willingly sacrificed his life out of love for you. The dominant culture may hate you, the racist. You may even take pleasure in the fact that the dominant culture hates you. Whether you like what the culture thinks about you or you don't like it, the truth remains. Jesus Christ loves you, the sinner. He doesn't love you because of your sin. His reasons for loving you are found in him, not in you. But God is rich in love and mercy, and Jesus Christ came to save sinners, including racists. He doesn't want you to remain in your racism, but he loves you so much that Jesus willingly sacrificed his life out of love for you. When I say that Jesus willingly sacrificed his life, what I mean is that at the cross, Jesus put himself in the place of guilty sinners. And he said to God the Father, so to speak, "Judge me for their sin. Put their guilt and their shame and the judgment they deserve on me." Jesus did this for his people. Regarding all that God considers sin, whether the culture approves or hates those sins. Dear racist, Jesus loves you so much that we could say that he said to God the Father, "Take their sin of racism and put it on me. Treat me as the racist and pour out your holy wrath on me for that sin. I will take it and bear it." Again, I'm not talking about the wrath of the culture, but the wrath of God. Jesus bore it, and he did it out of love, so that if you will put your faith in him, you do not have to bear the wrath of God for your sin of racism or your other sins. Which brings me to my third and final point. Because of what Jesus did and continues to do, you can be forgiven, transformed, and restored. What Jesus did on the cross was so far-reaching that it has the capacity to forgive every sin ever committed. But it only effectively forgives the sin of God's people, those who come to God humbly, knowing that they need to be rescued and trusting in Jesus for their rescue. Not trusting in themselves in any way, but trusting in who Jesus is and what he did for us. Especially what he did at the cross and the empty tomb in his resurrection. When we come to Jesus in faith and repentance, there's forgiveness, even for the racist. Now, I say faith and repentance on purpose, because they go together. You can't truly turn to Jesus unless you turn away from your sin, including the sin of racism. When we put our trust and love in Jesus in this way, we receive the gift of new life, and God continues his work in us, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. The changes don't all happen at once, and they will never be completed on this side of eternity. But there should be some evidence of real change in the life of God's people. When we are made new people in Jesus Christ, it doesn't automatically change all our habits of thinking, and our habits of doing. But as we continue trusting in Jesus, living for him, and doing the basics of the Christian life, we will become more like Jesus, even in our habits of thinking and doing. God can forgive and transform the sinner, including the racist. Sometimes when I hear racism discussed in our dominant culture, it sounds like it is the unforgivable sin. The idea often seems to be, hey, once a racist, always a racist. You can never really be forgiven and transformed regarding this sin. You need to know that this is not how it is in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, in who he is and what he has done for us, especially what he did in his death at the cross, he brings forgiveness and begins transformation in all who believe and repent. What does it look like to be a forgiven and transformed racist? One great example from the pages of history is a man named John Newton. He was the author of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. But before he ever wrote that song, he was in the shipping business, and he transported African slaves across the Atlantic. I guess you could say that he was a racist. Yet in a terrible storm, in fear for his life, he believed on Jesus and repented of his sins, and he was truly converted. He eventually quit the slave business, and as a pastor, he had a big influence on a man named William Wilberforce, the man who was instrumental in outlawing slavery in the entire British Empire. Listen, that's both forgiveness and transformation. John Newton is just one example. There are countless others, and hopefully more and more of them every day. Dear racist, let me end by simply repeating my three main ideas. Number one, your racism is a sin that you must repent of. Number two, Jesus Christ loves you, the racist, and he willingly sacrificed his life out of love for you. And then third, because of what Jesus did and continues to do, you can be a forgiven, transformed, and restored man or woman in Jesus Christ. Hey, receive it today with faith and repentance, and let's make a better world together in Jesus' name.